shot.
So today we're going to talk about generosity. Because if God could be generous enough to give his son for us to die, we can sure learn how to be generous in our hearts, right? So we're going to start a little quick mini-series for you called Be Generous. Today's message is titled, The Heart of Generosity. The Heart of Generosity. How many of y'all know we need more generosity in our own hearts? I better not be the only one. Amen. How about you at home? You know you need more generosity in your own heart. I know I do. Amen. I ask for that each and every day. Even sometimes when we have a bunch of excess in what we have, we still have a problem human being generous with it, don't we? We sometimes want to hoard it in our house. Keep it away from everybody else. Amen. Guess what? If God would have hoarded Jesus in his house and not give him away, we wouldn't have no place to go but hell, would we? Amen. So how much more should we be generous in our hearts? Amen. In a world where self-interest and material pursuits often take center stage, this series is going to focus on the incredible power of generosity. The big idea for today's message is this. God gives generously. And when we give, we reflect His, God's, generous nature. Amen. So your main scripture today is going to come from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25 through 35. Luke 10, 25, 35. When you get there, give me an amen. Is there at home? The book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25, 35. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. And if we're ready, here we go. Amen. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. Amen. You have correctly answered, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to that place and he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, telling him, look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for anything extra you may have. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your scripture today, Lord. Lord, as always, I ask you, allow your Holy Spirit move Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, may be your word spoken and not mine today, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul to the blessing and the message that you have us, Lord, today for about generosity, Lord. Lord, and how to have our true hearts on that generous nature at all times, Jesus. Lord, we ask you just to be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray, and everybody say it. Amen. Think about that big point again. God gives generously. And when we give, we reflect His generous nature. I would say, and I would claim, the most important verse and most popular verse in the Bible is probably John 3:16. Would you agree with me? Because it says, For God so loved the world that what? That He gave. To finish that verse, it says, that gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall what? Not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Again, God so loved us that He gave. Amen. He gave generously, didn't He? As I mentioned earlier. Being generous doesn't just mean giving money. Amen. It also means sharing our time, sharing our talents, and sharing our resources. When we say God gave Himself for us, it means that He sacrificed Himself to help us and to save us. Amen. Like that. Just like that. Boom. We can give our time and help others. We can share our skills and share our abilities. Or we can lend a helping hand to those that need it. Every act of generosity that we have, no matter how small, no matter how big, will make a difference in somebody's life. Amen. Generosity isn't about pleasing God. It's about making our community and the world a better place. Amen. Over the next few weeks, we're going to do a deep dive into the story of the Good Samaritan. In the story, the Good Samaritan got off his donkey, didn't he? To be generous and help somebody in need. How many of y'all have seen somebody on the side of the road here recently and you drove them by like the others did? Jesus also used that story to teach each one of us how we can have a fulfilling life by helping others. Let me start with this story. A girl named Carol Wood. When she was a high school student at Chagrin Falls, Ohio, at 17 years old, she was a high school soccer star who worked after school at a local diner named Dink's Colonial Restaurant. That's where she met Bill Creston, an 82-year-old widower who came in every day for lunch and dinner and a little company, I'm sure. Carol and Bill struck up a friendship. Carol was outgoing and assertive. Bill, of course, being that old, was what? Opinionated and sometimes overbearing. Hey, we know old people like that. We know young people like us like that. Amen. They're very opinionated and overbearing sometimes. Their personalities clashed, I can imagine. But they built an unlikely friendship with each other. Carol started helping Bill run errands and do things around the house. Bill did not have any children of his own, but he always told Carol that she reminded him of his late wife, Gertrude, and that if he had a granddaughter, he imagined that she would be like Carol. Later that year, when Bill was admitted to the hospital, he took one photo for his bedside, and that was of his friend, Carol. When he passed away from heart failure, Carol got the phone call. Not only had her friend passed away, but he left her everything that he owned, which was like $500 million. Hey man, what a friendship they built up from complete opposite personalities. Amen. And eras of living. One being 80-something and Carol being 17. Amen. Generosity, though, rolled in Bill's heart, didn't it? That's been several years ago. But Carol invested the money in the stock market and used it to pay her bills off and afford a college education. She thought she was just making a friend with Bill and helping out an older man, didn't she? She never thought that by helping a stranger like the Samaritan did, that she was actually helping herself as well. Amen. Being generous to somebody along the way is one of the core teachings of Jesus Christ and Christianity. When we help others, we discover our purpose, don't we? When we help others, we help ourselves become better people, don't we? Over the next few weeks, we're going to read through that story. I believe that every one of us can become a better people and a better person by embracing four principles from the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus told the story in Luke 10 when he was having a conversation with the lawyer. 10:25 again it says, on one occasion an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now an expert in law was not an expert in the law of the land. Amen. He was an expert in biblical law. He would have had the first books of the Bible memorized. And he was an expert in interpreting the law and the teaching people about it. Amen. But that lawyer still asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now when we think about that question on eternal life, it seems like a simple softball question, don't it, for the teacher like Jesus. He could talk about heaven, couldn't he? He could talk about life after death. He could talk about eternity with God. Amen. But this is not what this expert in the law is asking. Amen. In the Jewish context, when you heard the phrase eternal life, it meant simply, how do I live with God now? How do I live in step? How do I live in tune? How do I live in harmony with the Almighty God today? The lawyer was looking for fulfillment. He was looking for his purpose. Amen. And this is not a question about how to get to heaven when he dies. It's a question focused on how to have the best possible life there. The expert in the law stands up. He puts Jesus on the stand, don't he? And everyone at this party becomes a jury. They're looking at Jesus. Every one of them looking at Jesus. How will he respond? How will Jesus respond? Tell us, teacher. Tell us what we must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus responds to the expert's question. What? With a statement of fact? No. He responded with a question, didn't he? Luke 10:26. "What is written in the law?" He replied. "How do you read?" He turned the back on the attorney, didn't he? He turned the question back to him. And Jesus is saying this: "You're the expert in the law. Why are you asking me? Tell me what's written in the law. And how do you read it? How do you understand it?" Amen. Now, here's the thing. The law in the Jewish mind was the Torah, which was the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And within these five books, you'll see that there is 613 commandments about how to live and the law. To the Hebrew people, they're not just laws and commands, though, are they? They are sacred deeds to them. The Torah is sacred deeds to the Hebrew people. There are ways for people to walk in step. There's ways for people to walk in tune and in harmony with God. And what's amazing is that the rabbis and the teachers began to rank the laws like there were little college football teams. Well, here's your top 25. Amen. Luke 10:27 says this. He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus himself is teaching them. And regardless of what their laws say, he's teaching them to put God first. Amen. Not him, but to put God first. And here's the point for you. Put God first in all things, or all other things will fall into their proper place. Let me state that again. If we put God first, other things will fall into their proper place. The same teaching that Jesus was giving then is still applies to us today, don't it? If we put God first, guess what? Our life's going to be a whole lot easier. It's going to be a whole lot simpler. It's going to be a whole lot more joy in our lives, because everything will start falling in the proper place where it should be, in God's will and not ours. Amen? We put God first in our lives if we want God to bless us. We put Him first in our lives if we want to live generously in our heart. Whatever you want God to bless, put Him first in that area. If you want Him to bless your finances, put Him first. If you want Him to bless your home, put Him first. Amen. If you want Him to bless your church, your friends, your family, put God first in those areas. Pray for those areas first. Amen. That's how you get God first. When we put God first, guess what, guys? Our lives will change. We'll see things differently, won't we? We'll see things a lot more clearly. Amen. The fog lifts. It's like the darkness goes away. It's like we've got a new set of eyes upon us. We've got new glasses, so to say. Amen. God wants to give us a new vision. Amen. He wants to turn the lights on. Listen to the words of Jesus. In the book of John 8:12, it says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk, what? In darkness. Because you will have the light that leads to life. Amen. We will have the life that leads to life if we follow Jesus and not the world. Amen. When we stumble around in the dark, what happens? We get hurt, don't we? We run into something. You bang knees. You tear skin. Amen. By stumbling around in the dark. If we're trying to drive in the dark, what happens? We crash, don't we? We crash and burn. Amen. We get hurt. When you're in the dark, we make all kinds of mistakes, don't we? But when we're in the light, things get a lot clearer, don't they? When we're driving down the road in the daytime in the light, we won't hit that tree that's in the middle of the road, will we? Boy, you're using brakes, hopefully they work. Amen? Things get clearer. It's time for us to turn on the light if we haven't already. Amen? The further away we get from God, the more confused that we're going to be about life. The further away that we get from God, the more confused that you're going to be about your relationships. The more confused you're going to be about your career. The more confused you're going to be about your money, about your friends, about your past and your future. Amen? But guess what? The closer that we get to God, the less confused we're going to be. When we get close to God, we get that act of clarity, don't we? You get a new clarity about our lives. Amen. If we put God first, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. The lawyer in today's story understood that, but he struggled with what was next, didn't he? He wondered, what's the second greatest commandment? And what did he get told? Luke 10:27. He answered, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind. And the second one is, love your neighbor as yourself. How many of y'all got problems with loving your neighbor sometimes? Hey, I don't know about you, but not all of our neighbors are wonderful people. Not all of them are nice to live by. Amen. Some of them are mean. How many of y'all got mean neighbors? Some of us. How about they're at home? You got mean neighbors at home? We still got to love them, don't we? No matter how mean that neighbor might be, God's second biggest commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love him just like you. Amen? Love him like the Good Samaritan did. But that verse teaches us the golden rule. And here's the point. Treat other people like you want to be treated. Treat other people like you want to be treated. Amen. If I treat other people like I want to be treated, guess what? Most likely, we're going to get along with almost everybody, aren't we? Because they're not going to be standoffish like they might be now. Amen. If we want to have the best life possible, we got to be kind to people. Even if sometimes we don't like being around people, guess what? We still got to be kind to them, don't we? We got to treat people fairly. We got to give people a second chance. When we fail, we want a second chance, don't we? But when other people fail us, we don't want to give them one, do we? We're quick to cut ties with them, quick to write them off. But we got to treat people with grace. We got to give them the chance to make things right. And Jesus replied to that lawyer in Luke 10:28. "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live. Do this, and you will live a good life." But the lawyer wasn't satisfied, was he? In Luke 10:29, he says, "But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" How many of y'all got that question every once in a while? Who is my neighbor? Amen. Now the question is, who is my neighbor? That was a big question in the first century, wasn't it? Especially among Jewish people. Because you see, there was a big debate going on at that time about who qualified as a neighbor. Many Jews actually believed that their neighbors were only other Jews, not other people. Amen. Not Samaritans, not Levites, but only Jews. Only other people that thought and had the same religious values system that they did. How many of y'all know people like that? How many are like that? The only people that are, you consider your neighbors or want to act just like you. Guess what? That is not your neighbor. Your neighbor is everybody, right? The people of this day said a neighbor is someone from our tribe. The people who are like us, who vote like us, who dress like us, who act like us, who likes the same teams that we like. And everybody, or everyone else, is not worthy of our love. They're the enemy. Amen. That was the stigma that Jesus was trying to box. So tying that man to the box, Jesus, that man's trying to tie Jesus in a box. I'll get that out. He asked him a question. "Who do you say a neighbor is?" And Jesus responded to him by telling that story that every one of us has heard. A story that we think every time we drive by a car that's on the side of the road, or some person is helping someone stranded in a vehicle. The parable of the Good Samaritan pops up, don't it? So Jesus responded this way. He asked the question, "Who is my neighbor?" And he replies this way. Luke 10:30-35. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, left him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that same road. When he saw the man, he passed by him." Where? Not beside him, did he? He went completely the other side of the road. "So too a Levite who had came to the place and saw him passed by also on the other side of the road." Amen. But what happened? "But a Samaritan, as he was traveling, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he didn't go to the other side of the road, did he?" Nope. He took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for anything extra expense that you might have." Notice that in verse 33. When he said, or when he saw him, he what? He took pity on him. The Samaritan slowed down long enough to see a man in need, not just somebody beside the road. Amen? Not just somebody broken down. Amen? Too many times, I myself am not like the Samaritan. I'm like the other guys. I'm too busy. I have three or four things going on at once. And it's so easy for me to just miss something. It's not that I don't want to give. But sometimes I'm staring at an opportunity in the face and I still miss it. How about you? You still miss your good Samaritan moments? For us guys, that's why we need good wives. They see things that we don't see with our mind and our ears. Sometimes they'll say, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you see this? Do you know who that person is? I need to slow down. And maybe we do too. Maybe you do too. So here's the other point. If we slow down so that God can show you the needs that are close by. If we slow down so that God can show us the needs that are close by. How many of y'all still watch Seinfeld reruns? We were talking about Seinfeld the other day. I didn't like it that much, but some of it's pretty funny. How many of y'all still do it? Do y'all remember the last show, their grand finale? They took a shot at explaining the story of the Good Samaritan. The series ran for 9 years, and the producers of the Seinfeld show focused their last show on the story of the Good Samaritan. Elaine, George, Kramer, and Jerry were witnesses to a carjacking. They watched it all of it unfold. And when the police arrived, they were the ones arrested because they violated the Good Samaritan law that says you're required to help or assist anyone in danger as long as it's reasonable to do so. The next scene is when they're in jail and Elaine says, the Good Samaritan law, are they crazy? Then George says, why would we want to help somebody? That's what nuns and the Red Cross workers are for. That's what nuns and the Red Cross workers are for. Too many times we're like George, aren't we? We don't want to help because that's what somebody else is for. We see a need, but we're too busy and just don't want to get involved in it. Amen? Jesus is teaching us in this story that we have a responsibility to help people. We've been blessed, each one of us, so that we can be a blessing to others. So here's your final point. Do something. Somebody say do something. Everybody watching at home, talk do something in the comments. Do something. Amen. So anything. Do something. The only way we can serve God is by serving other people. Amen. The only way that we can serve God is by serving other people. So do something. Don't just sit there like a knot on the log. You don't have to do everything, do we? But you have to do something. Your neighbors need you. You might be thinking, my neighbors seem fine. How many of y'all think your neighbors seem fine? Amen. In fact, I wish I was doing as well as my neighbors. Well, if we're going to understand this story, then we need to redefine the word neighbor, don't we? Jesus redefines neighbor as what? Anyone. A neighbor is anyone in need. It doesn't matter if it's helping somebody down the road, down the street or across the world, does it? It doesn't matter if that person looks like us or doesn't look like us. Or they couldn't be more different than us. It doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter if they're a friend or an enemy. Our neighbor is the one that we see in need. Amen? If you know me at all, you know that I pray very simple prayers. Several years ago, I started praying this prayer, and I pray it regularly. God, help me to help others. God, help me to help others. God, help you all to help others. Amen. There are people all around the world and all around you that need your help. There are people who are hurting from the past. Maybe the pain of a broken family. Maybe the pain of a parent who was absent or abusive. Or maybe they suffered through a devastating divorce. There's people who are struggling with addictions right now, amen? There's people with financial needs, amen? There are kids that need help too. Have you ever considered serving in the kids' ministry? Each one of them needs so many per week. Amen? The Good Samaritan, what did he do? The Good Samaritan got off his donkey, didn't he? Because there was a need. Are you getting off your donkey today to meet somebody's need? When you help other people, it makes a difference. And it makes your life and their life that much more better. When you boil it all down, you can do two things in your life. You can waste it, amen, or you can invest it. Don't waste your life. God didn't give His Son generously to die on that cross for us to waste our lives. Amen. One day we're going to stand before God, aren't we? And He's going to ask you two questions. This is going to be your final exam, per se. The first question is this: why should I let you into heaven? The answer to that question is that you have trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And the second question is, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? That's a question of stewardship, isn't it? No matter what it is, amen, time, talents, money, financial, whatever, we're called to give it back, are we not? As we come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, well, Lord, I thank you for your message today, Lord. Lord, as always, I thank you for moving Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word spoken and not mine, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for the blessing in your message, Lord. Lord, the fact that we truly have a reason, no matter what we went through, Lord, to be in a generous heart state, Lord. Lord, just due to the fact that you were generous enough to give your Son for us, Lord. Lord, we should want to give out beyond our means, beyond our measure, Lord. Wherever that need might be, wherever that neighbor might be, Lord. Lord, we ask you just to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can truly touch. Tell them about your mercy, your love, your grace, Lord. Lord, and tell them about your generosity, Lord. The fact that you give us a way out of death, hell, and damnation, Lord. Lord, Lord, that we might be able to help them reach a need that they have here, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. In your name I pray. And everybody said,